baller show, Clint. I love the show, man.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty and the Blonde Bomber.
The Big Dilf.
A.K.A. Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill. Tyler Milner is in the building as well. Best bets coming up at the end of the show. We'll see how Moneybags is doing then as well. Remember, 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And here is a little news for the Texans as they will face the New England Patriots on the road at Gillette Stadium coming up on Sunday. And there had been speculation on who will be the quarterback for the Patriots in that game, and now we have an understanding. Adam Schefter, busy day for Adam Schefter, but he says a quarterback change in New England. The Patriots are now going to turn to rookie first-round pick Drake May to start Sunday's game against the Houston Texans. May will now join Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix as the fourth rookie quarterback to start this season. So he is going to be the starter. No Jacoby Brissett in this game, the more experienced of the two, Clint. But now they shift to Drake May. So he is the guy, and now the Texans are going to have to prepare for Drake May instead of Jacoby Brissett. Yep. In your mind, you've seen the two play. They are different quarterbacks, but they are quarterbacks with different experience. Do you think this changes much for D'Amico Ryans in their game?
Yeah, look, I think it changes just, and I'm leaning heavily into what I hear people talking about that watch a lot of film on the Patriots. I don't, but apparently Jacoby Brissett is done. You want to talk about washed up? I mean, apparently he just has nothing left, and it's time to make it. They're not making a change because Drake May's ready to play. They're making a change because apparently Jacoby Brissett is washed. And so if I'm looking at, I'm not looking at a veteran savvy, veteran quarterback that's going to make all the right decisions, that can still sling around the park, that can move around a little bit. If the alternative is a quarterback that was washed and wasn't playing a brand of football with, that even the New England Patriots could work with, then that tells me that Drake May is the better option, and Drake May is an upgrade at the quarterback position. So, look, I don't think Drake May's ready to play at the NFL level. I don't think he's physically, I know he's mentally not, but physically, fundamentally, technique-wise, Drake May's not ready to play at the NFL level. He is the one. I disagree wholeheartedly. I heard some audio earlier of C.J. Stroud saying that Drake May was the most NFL ready quarterback coming out in this draft.
Yeah, that's not what you were saying.
I don't know how he even got there. Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are far and away more NFL ready than Drake May. But anyway, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, all of those guys had played a ton of football. I know Drake May was at North Carolina for a few years and he got a lot of starts. But look, when I watch Drake May, there's still a lot of flaws in his game. And I think on that, on top of being so young and inexperienced, is going to make it really tough. Now, they're going to play really good defense. They're going to try to run the football, and they're going to commit to the run game no matter what. And they're going to minimize how many times Drake May has to drop back and make a decision. And they're going to hope like hell that they can run it well, because then they can play action, which will really clear up all the reads for Drake May. And in the instance where there's nothing there and he has to scramble, that's where the difference is going to come. Drake May has a real athletic ability to go make plays with his feet. And I don't think he's going to make a bunch of them, but he does have the ability to get loose and long stride on you. And before you ever realize he's out the gate, he can get it now. And so I think we're splitting hairs between Drake May and Jacoby Brissett, assuming he's washed as people say he is. But there is an athletic ability there with Drake May that could become a problem if you let this game be closer than it should be.
Yeah, I think overall and moving forward, I think Drake May is clearly a better talent than Jacoby Brissett right now, and I think we'll give them a better chance. But this week, I have the expectation that D'Amico Ryans and this defense makes his life a living hell.
Oh, as do I.
And they should, like, they should. There ain't no Andy Reid or Kyle Shanahan over there where it is, all right, hey, they can make up for deficiencies. Yeah, you haven't seen a ton of Drake May, but we've seen D'Amico and what he has done to young quarterbacks.
You're going to get hit hard if you're playing against us.
Yes, you
hit
are.
Hard. Hit hard.
And they are going to send pressure, and they are going to confuse him. And we saw what they did to Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, I mean, it was so bad. I mean, CJ felt he had to give him some advice after the game, how much they hit him. We saw what he did last year to young quarterbacks. This should be a dominating performance from the Texans defense. They don't have any guys that scare you in terms of receiving threats. Like,
it's a lot like what you saw this week. There's no Josh Allen.
Yes. No Josh Allen. No Josh Allen. And to me, like, I mean, they run the ball well, but even more without the threats, you should be able to, I mean, they should be able to add more to the, you know, to the front to make sure they stop Stevenson and company. So to me, like, I know there's some Texans fans that'll get nervous and say, oh, young quarterbacks do things to us, and remember what Zach Wilson did in the second half last year and stuff like that. Like, no, they should work over Drake May.
I agree with that. Absolutely. I love D'Amico Ryans. I love D'Amico Ryans schematically. Whether he's just mixing coverages up or he's pressuring, I love D'Amico Ryans schematically versus a rookie quarterback.
Now they should smell blood as they arrive in Foxborough. Just, I mean, they can blitz. They don't have, remember, what was it, Caleb? That's the most he's ever blitzed in a game before. I think to see something similar to that. Stop the run, and it is a field day. All right, so that is the latest there. Drake May in as the starting quarterback for Jacoby Brissett for the Patriots.
You're gonna get hard.
5 o'clock fire.
Well, some of you may. Tegan Quatoriano, who had played with the Texans the last couple of years, he has now been signed off the Bears practice squad to the 53-man roster, Clint. So he is going to be back with the Texans. After being on that practice squad in Chicago, they will add to him. And based off some of the things you talked about in the run game, the physicality from the tight end position, it's kind of clear where this is headed. They feel like they need help, and they need help in terms of a tight end who can be physical in the run game. I don't think this is about Tegan's pass-catching ability. I think this is about Tegan's physicality.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's about options for the Houston Texans. You know, Tegan is a guy that can put his hand in the dirt at the end of the line of scrimmage. You can move Cade Stover back to that fullback position if you end up in a spot you need that. In your efforts to run the football, Cade Stover is much better, much more physical than Dalton Schultz. And Tegan Quatoriano gives you the flexibility to have two tight ends on the field at one time that brings some level of physicality to the game. It's whether you're looking at it from that angle, because that's how bad the run blocking has been. And Dalton Schultz is definitely one of them that sticks out like a sore thumb, right? Is you can be much more physical at the tight end position and the fullback position and the H-back position in your attempts to run the football. We've seen it, like San Francisco. I don't want to keep going back to San Francisco, but I think it's closer, especially as you watch Bobby Slowick try to run the football. It's very similar to what it looks like up there or over there in Kansas City. You watch George Kittle. You watch what's Juszczyk. I mean, those are some super physical dudes. Now, they're also uber athletic, but they're super physical as well. If you can just get that physicality component in there, then maybe they can start popping a few runs. I think Tegan Quatoriano gives you a chance to do that. And the other thing is, if Dalton isn't going to bring more to you to the field in that run game, then there's no sense in exhausting him in the efforts of trying to run the football. Get a good tight end rotation. That way you keep him healthy for the obvious passing situations. You keep him healthy. You keep him fresh for when you want to spread him out a little bit and when you want to do some things in the pass game. And so, yeah, I like the Tegan Quartoriano sign.
That's right. They bring him on the practice. Like, if you sign him off somebody else,
he's on a roster, baby.
He's got to be on the roster.
He's on a roster.
And that means they feel like they need it. They need help.
There is no way in hell what I've been disgusted at since about 9:30 today. There's no way in hell Bobby Sloak and D'Amico Ryans didn't see the same thing.
All right, so that is the latest move made as they add an old friend. Tegan Quartoriano is back and back on the roster for the Texans.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. A lot out of that Monday night football game yesterday is the Chiefs. They moved to 5-0 and beat the Saints 26-13. But from the Saints' perspective, Derek Carr got hurt late in that game. And reports are saying that he is expected to miss multiple games with an oblique injury.
Just asleep at night.
As he suffered late in that game. He sounded like that in the press conference.
I'm just pissed off.
I don't know why he walked to talk to the media after he was clearly hurt and left the game, but he came up to the mic anyway and did that thing. But New Orleans has two games in the next 9 days, and the likelihood of Carr would miss the games versus the Buccaneers and Broncos, and they're fighting with the Buccaneers and Falcons in that NFC South. So he is going to be down for a minute. So that hurt a lot. Boy, the Saints, the Saints, after they did the number on the Cowboys.
Uh-huh. Started hot, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then came back to earth.
Yeah, and they looked.
Spencer Rattler? Rattler time?
No.
Is that not who it was?
No, it was somebody else. Some other kid who was running for his life. Number three. God, I can't remember who their backup is, but he was running for his life. It didn't look great. So we'll see. The Saints, they struggled there in that game, and then they lost their quarterback, so that's one to watch. And then news coming from the Chiefs, Clint. Rashee Rice, who had that injury against the Chargers, he underwent successful surgery on I'm not as familiar with the old LCL. The LCL ligament. Now, shout out to Tyler. This is now 6 years ago today he had surgery on his ACL.
True story.
ACL. They say he had surgery on the LCL. The good news is there is no damage to the ACL, the MCL, or the meniscus, and there is an expectation that there won't be any long-term issues stemming from the injury. The recovery time is 4 months, but the Chiefs are saying they are going to revisit to see a clearer picture in December if he can return. So, I mean, this to me just feels like, hey, man, just 4 months. It's supposed to be 4 months. Let's shut this thing down.
Yeah, that's
Unless he's coming back for the Super Bowl. Or I guess the playoffs are in January. What is it, October, November, December, January? No, man, shut this thing.
I'm not familiar with the LCL, so I have no idea how significant this is.
But they said it's a four-month injury. Four-month recovery is what it is. 4 months, it could be longer. So, I don't know how he didn't tear his ACL or MCL when you saw his leg kick back. It on that
went
on
the wrong
that
way, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it did. It did. So I guess they're still holding out hope. I would look at him and think that he is done and done for the year. So that is the latest there on a lot of injuries happening in the NFL yesterday and getting reports on today. All right, coming up next, we talked about it seems like the bringing of Tegan Quartoriano is a direct reflection on what they're getting in terms of blocking from the tight end position. But is this a little deeper with Dalton Schultz? Clint has been fired up about Dalton Schultz. Is this pouting from him? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Kid is a freaking baller.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Clint, I know you're fed up with Dalton Schultz.
I am. Yes, I am. The film that I watched, the All-22, and given the problems that the Texans have had this year running the football, and given the fact that I think in order to be a legitimately make a run to a Super Bowl, they're going to have to run the football to some degree versus the best defenses in the game. That's where my hopes are for this football team. And given what I saw really from the entire offensive line, if we're being honest, it's not good. But Dalton Schultz Sticks out like a sore thumb. Yes, in a negative way, without a doubt.
Yeah, I know. I know you've about had it, but you know these guys' mindset a lot better than the other two members of this show. And I would say that Tyler's a very distant third place on this. But you would be number one here on understanding the mindset of, you know, football players, their thinking, their thought. And I look at this, and we know he's not physical. That's just not his trademark, right? Like, we understand with George Kittle, that's his trademark. Gronk, sure. That's his trademark, right? He's not a physical guy. But would it be fair to say, understanding and knowing how some of these guys' mindsets can be, that his play and his lack, because his lack of physicality, especially talking to you, is even worse than normal.
It is. Yeah, absolutely it is.
Would you say that has anything to do with the lack of his involvement in the offense and the lack of things coming his way? Right? Like, I wonder how much that has to do with what we're seeing out of him, because I don't think this is what Dalton Schultz signed up for. Like, I don't know that Dalton Schultz knew he was going to be in protection one-on-one with Jonathan Greenard. I don't know that Dalton Schultz, as you showed me, was going to be in the backfield as a lead blocker for Dare Ogunbowale. I think he didn't sign up to be running wind sprints and not have a chance to get the ball. And this cannot be what he thought he was coming back to. Remember, he was the number one tight end on the market. And he was hoping, where he got paid, yes, but he was thinking he was going to be, I think, more or less taking another step to what he was. He thought he was included in the five-headed monster. But that's not been the case. You know how players think and how they get. Do you think that has anything to do potentially with his play?
Well, first off, it's been so disgusting that I don't want to even shape my mouth to make an excuse for him, first of all. Secondly, that's exactly what it looks like. If I had, I'm not going to pretend that I have the answers, because I'm not in the locker room. I don't know
I don't know the dynamic. Yeah.
But what I see is, I see a guy that appears to be pouting that he's being asked to do what he's being asked to do. So he's doing it in a half-assed manner. That is exactly what I see. Whether you're lined up on the end of the line of scrimmage and you're letting average players, really below average, because we're talking about inside linebackers that are walking up on the end of the line of scrimmage, you're letting them beat you across the face multiple times, whether you're pass protecting and the quarterback's getting hit now, or you're in a run scheme and you're letting the guy beat you across your face and then just quitting and letting the guy make the tackle instead of at least continuing to try to strain and get the block done. If you're the backside of a play and there's really, you're more of a decoy, like you could go out there and block somebody, hit somebody, you could circle back to the play side and try to pick somebody off. Nope, you are just A-OK with going through the motions. If he's in the backfield, Ron, one of the plays, he's in the backfield and he's leading up on a backer. And like, instead of being like the super athlete that you are, and avoiding the offensive lineman's legs, you're slowly dragging your feet through there, and you trip over the offensive lineman, and then you don't even make an effort to continue on and at least get in the way of the defender that you're responsible for. Like, yeah, it all just strikes me as a, if I had to guess, it is a severe level of pouting that he's not happy with whatever the hell's going on. The problem with it is, because it then goes from, you not doing your job when you're one of 10 or one of nine really blocking in the run game, or one of six or seven or eight that's blocking in the pass protection game. Now you're alligator arming a ball over the middle of the field when the team needs you to keep a drive alive. You're not catching a ball that Dalton Schultz is clearly capable of catching over the middle of the field. Now you're catching a short underneath route and you're getting drilled by a defensive back and you're getting up rolling the ball at him. I don't know why. Maybe you didn't like how he hit you so hard. You're rolling the ball at him and getting a 15-yard penalty and putting us behind the chains for no reason.
We don't like that.
Like, it's now it's parlaying into, it's snowballing into other problems And so, yeah, Ron, if I had to attempt to guess at what the issue is, based on what I watch on the film, it looks like a really good athlete that's dragging his feet and pouting about what he's being asked to do.
And look, I know what we'll hear. And I'm not even looking. I'll look now. But I know what we'll hear, and people will talk about, well, you're getting paid this much money, da-da-da-da. I get it. Actually, let me not lie. I don't get it. But I understand this is what many people say. If you're paid a certain amount of money, you're not, you know, allowed to have feelings. Now, I'm not excusing him if he is. Again, I want to, you know, speak for both of us. We're not saying that this is 100% is what's happening. Just speculation.
I will say it's. I know I'm 100% on what's happening on the field.
Yes.
The reasoning behind it, I don't know. But it reeks of something's not kosher.
No, he does. Yeah, he does not look thrilled.
Bingo.
To be doing what he's doing, and I'll be honest, I can understand if he wasn't. Just like I'm telling you right now, Stephon Diggs would have a problem if they were running the ball 40 times a game.
Yes.
And he was in there blocking.
Diggs was open. Game,
and he's not running. Because that's not what the hell I thought we was coming into. Right? And I could see how Dalton Schultz is like, whoa, Jack. What the hell am I putting my hand down for in the backfield? When did I become a fullback? When did I become back? When did I become... And it's not like it's just sometimes... Because I'm looking about it, I'm thinking to myself, damn... Clint, you have probably showed me 17 to 20 plays with him where his primary duty is not running a pass route.
Correct.
It is blocking.
Yep.
It is blocking.
They're down to two tight ends.
Blocking as a tight end, blocking mm-hmm. as a fullback, blocking as a lead guy in screens. Hell, blocking defensive ends, blocking linebackers. I'm not certain. Like that's what he's about. So, like, I can see. Now, I still think you got to at some point give everything you got. And not just accept.
That's the most disappointing. The level of quit. Like I went from being disappointed in the physicality. I just don't think that these guys. I'll be honest with you. Like I don't think that these guys up front, and I'm including the tight ends. I don't think this coaching staff. They are a very good coaching staff, and they have done a tremendous job. And they coach. These guys are very well coached. I think one spot where they are clearly dropping the ball is you're either coaching or you're allowing it. And the level of just inability to be physical is alarming with this group. I mean alarming with this group. And that typically pisses me off every week, if I'm being honest. Dalton Schultz has taken it to a whole other level because that's present and the level of quit is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Like, you're 4-1, man. I understand a guy could be frustrated and maybe take a play off here or there, maybe not, but you're 4-1, man. You're getting beat across your face in run schemes and pass protections, and it don't even matter. It's like, well, you know, it's looking at the sideline like, gosh, dang it, guys. How do y'all expect me to do this? You know what I mean? The level of quit is wow.
Text line rolling through. He can have feelings. I just can't fathom a tight end not realizing what tight ends may be asked to do. Be physical. I don't think it's that he doesn't realize that he might be asked to block. I just think he thought he was going to be a major part of this offense and not – being a major part of this offense being as a blocker.
Yeah. Well, the other part of it is he's having to play a lot of snaps because, you know, they're down to two tight ends and the fullback got hurt and Brevin Jordan got hurt. So now you've got two guys, but they're still like, you would have to, like when the game's over, man, like just come pull me off the field, man. And there may be some real issues with exhaustion. There may be some real issues with what he's being asked to do. Still, don't explain the level of quit and just nonchalant. I'm cool with this.
I mean, he feels like somebody. Hey, man, get him a couple touches. especially now that Nico is out, maybe get give him a couple touches, because he does seem like, and I think there are a lot of players and there are a lot of people who whose performance improved if you you show them a little love.
Sure, Ron, but we've talked about this from jump. You talk about five-headed monster. You don't have enough balls to go around. You can't run the football right now, and you still don't have enough balls to go around. Imagine if you're running it well. Like, so, I mean, somebody's always going to be disappointed in this group. Maybe not now with Nico out, but somebody's always going to be disappointed in this group as it pertains to touches and what they're being asked to do. And it's going to be tough to keep everybody. Now, I'll tell you this. There are situations in that Buffalo game, too, where Dalton Schultz is open underneath on a shallow route.
And he's holding it.
And CJ's holding it looking down the field, where last year it seems like he was just getting that sucker out right now, staying ahead of the chains. And so in that be more aggressive approach, another way that Dalton may be missing opportunities is the quarterback's holding on to the football longer instead of getting it out. So to your point, get it out quick, get him a touch, stay ahead of the chains. Maybe not a bad idea. But boy, I tell you what, I'd throw the damn thing to him 10 times if he'd get more physical and cared a little bit more. I thought he'd get 10 straight plays to him.
10 straight right to
I'd give him the first 10 plays, man.
It goes to him. All right, coming up. Our best bets. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Make a little extra money tonight. And speaking of this offense, we'll see if Dalton Schultz gets some added touches with Nico Collins. But good God, boy. It's got to look better than it did on Sunday. This offense has to look better than it did. And I'll be very, very disappointed in the brain trust with this offense if it doesn't. Coming up on Sunday and the weeks without Nico Collins. That's all coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive as we continue riding through. Stay here with us as we continue live and local. D'Amico Ryans talked about this yesterday on the coaches show. You can catch that each and every Monday right after us at 5 o'clock. He talked about he and Bobby Slowick, their plan on how they go about things after Nico Collins went down. And it looks like they may potentially have to look at that for multiple weeks. So here is the coach talking about that situation.
Yeah, it's so tough, man, because you have so many play designs that are specifically for Nico. Especially, we love getting Nico the ball on the perimeter with the screens. Mm-hmm. And then he can also, of course, take the top off the defense right as well. So, you know, Bobby did a great job of adjusting. Like, we also have this guy, Stephon Diggs, who can make a few plays. And I think he stepped up big time for us, especially on third down. Like, he had so many, I think five or six of his catches went for first downs. And a few of those were on third down. So just having other playmakers like Steph, like Tank, Dalton, Dare, it was just the ball just was able to be spread around even more so without having Nico and the guys on those opportunities when they had their number call.
All right, that's D'Amico talking about obviously the weapons that they have there and how they potentially go about doing things with Nico out. And Clint, I know when you hear that, you hear about, oh, yeah, you know, still got Tank, still got Stephon Diggs. Talked about Dalton. Maybe he gets more involved with Nico being out. He brought up Dare. We'll see what he looks like and what this thing looks like. But you don't want to minimize how he kicked the thing off with and talked about what Nico brings. There are specific things that are just plays that you can run for Nico. And the first thing he talked about was just easy screens and easy little throws that he can get 5 to 7 yards that can turn into big plays because he's hard to break tackles. And I don't know they have that guy. They don't have that right now. That may not be an option right now. Maybe they try that with Xavier Hutchinson. We'll see. But that option of just easy yards, they may have to change that from their offense. And that's a big deal.
Yeah, look, I think that's where they miss Nico the most is in that quick screen where you can get it out there to him and that big body can get going and at least get you 4 or 5 yards, if not break a tackle and go get you a chunk play. I think that's where you miss him. Most people might first think, well, these big plays over the top, yada, yada. Those are, I mean, look, they're great to see, but it's one of those where you just hope to get one of those available, and then you hope you hit it a game. The other stuff is, I mean, it's a long handoff. It's really an extension of your run game, and it's something that I think you miss that guy more than the guy that from time to time can take the top off the defense. And so I think Xavier Hutchinson is going to be the guy that fills in there. I think he is a poor man's Nico Collins. No disrespect. It's just we're talking about the best receiver in football right now, at least the most productive receiver in football right now. I think he fills in fine. I think he's a similar build. I think he can do some of the things. He's from a target standpoint, I think he fits there nicely. I think this offense is totally different without Nico Collins, though. I think that goes without saying. But I tell you what I can do, Ron, is I can get good and juiced up about a Tank Dell plan. It's good to have – because what you do is Xavier Hutchinson fits in for Nico. You call your offense as normal. Stephon Diggs stays where he's at right now. Whatever you've asked him to do today, his role doesn't change. The guy that's been more of a gadget guy, who you saw, by the way, last week when Nico did go out, you saw his targets. At least it looked to me like from a target and a gadget standpoint that Tank got a little bit more attention there. And so I would expect with a week to game plan that the plan would be for everybody to stay, plug in Xavier, everybody else keep doing what you're doing, and we're gonna make it a priority to get Tank Dell Tank Dell centric pass plays involved, whatever that consists of. That would be, that seems like, because you know there's already over the last year and five games, there's already a Tank Dell package. There's already a really good feel between Bobby and CJ what Tank does well and kind of what he brings to the table. And let's be honest, to this point in the season, you really hadn't shown much of it. And so I would think that the slack is going to be picked up with more Tank than anything. And I think the sloppy play in the third quarter and fourth quarter last week, personally, Ron, I think it's – now, Nico, I'm not going to sit and tell you Nico didn't impact that. Not having your best receivers, obviously a big change, but the penalties became a problem. You had a drop by Dalton Schultz. The turnovers. You had two turnovers in the fourth quarter. One of them when you were driving had a nice little drive going in field goal range. So I think there's more to that story than just Nico not being out. They just got to play cleaner, and things will be fine.
It was a complete difference, and it was a difference in production, and what they did. Turnovers started to come about. I think, Clint, this offense has to turn more into what it was last year, and that was, hey, for the most part, we're getting it out.
Yes.
We're getting that thing out. You know, Tank.
I think that'll go there anyway, Ron.
Yeah, and I think Tank and Diggs can uncover quickly. We see, you know, different things, and then you hit the big play when it comes about.
Well, here's the thing, that's what they did last year. Yeah, well, but here's the thing. It's not a huge change, right? It's just really a mindset of the quarterback, because when you like the big play to Nico, I mean that was a called shot. That was a hard toss outside zone left fake with a funky play action, and that you're doing. They did exactly what they wanted to do and got exactly what they wanted to get him over the top. That's a called shot. You can still call your shots with Diggs or Tank in that spot. The overall offense, you're hitting the nail on the head. The overall offense, whether Nico was still in this thing or not, the overall offense has to go back to what
the mindset that C.J. Stroud had last year. That fumble would have never happened, because the ball would have been out.
Correct. You agree wholeheartedly.
The ball would have been out, and we'll see. We'll see what happens, because him and Tank had a really good feel for each other on off script plays. We'll see if they can kind of bring that together. But for the most part, man, it was getting the ball out, going to the right spot, and kind of killing you that way. And I think maybe with Diggs, and I think that's their sweet spot anyway, just uncovering really, really quick between Diggs and Tank, who now step up as being your top two receivers. I think that's kind of the route of where they go, I would imagine. And we'll see here. Hopefully they get at least one of them back to help things, because to me, I was a bit surprised, especially as we just heard D'Amico name all of those options, that they just weren't mustering much offense. And they were turning the ball over, And, you know, even, you know, the little drive, the one really good drive they had, they turned the ball over. They couldn't create separation and space to make plays when they needed it in that second half. I'll give them a pass because it just, hey, just hit. Kind of hit. Got to try to protect the rookie right tackle. Got to do a few things. Got to do some things. Rolling with Dare Ogunbowale. We got to do some things. But I think now you have a full week and understanding of what you need to do. I would expect to see a better game plan and better execution from Bobby Slowick, from C.J. Stroud, from Tank, the offensive line, Steph Diggs, Dalton Schultz, everybody else. I expect to see something better coming up when they get going with some time to prepare for it. All right, coming up behind us, Texans All Access, the Players Edition from 6 to 7. As they will have Foley Fatakasi. He will join the show. He was on with you guys.
He was on with us last week, man.
I know he was lifting. He was on with you guys
last
week. So Foley will be on with Indy Kalu for the Players Edition. And then after that, Texans All Access, as they will have a matchup edition in an Area 45, baby, live and local till midnight, 8 to midnight. I saw my man Sean. The beautiful Sean. Look at him taking that drink. Yes. Let's say, yeah, I see the beautiful Sean Bajani behind me, Patrick Creighton. They will take over there live and local as we finish this thing. All right, let's hit our best bets. Make a little money. Make a little money. Listen, I'll get mine out the way. You know, I'm you know, 50-50 here. But my bet tonight, I'm going to go to MLB, the playoffs, which have been fantastic. I mean, so much drama. I'm going to go Padres, Dodgers. This is starting to become must-see, the hatred. I feel like there's a fight that's going to break out at any moment between Flaherty and Manny Machado, amongst others. But the total, 7.5. I'm going to take the over tonight on that. I think there's going to be some runs scored. And the Padres have been hot. They hit 6 home runs, I believe, in that last game, too, against the Dodgers. And Michael King has pitched really, really well lately, but guys like Ohtani he's really had struggles with. I watched them do
tall Asian guy.
I watched them do a video of 3 different times that he faced Ohtani, and I think he was in 3 different uniforms giving up home runs to Shohei Ohtani, and Shohei was in a couple as well. So I'll take the over on that 7.5.
Well, speaking of old Mike King, that arm, that pitcher you just talked about there, Ron, my best bet for tonight is also baseball, and it has to do with Michael King because I am on over 5.5 strikeouts for old Mike King.
That's not bad. He's confident. Yeah. He's a confident guy. There's some holes in that lineup for him to go after. I like that. That ain't bad.
I think I'm going to go Dodgers plus 1.5. I'm gonna go Dodgers plus 1.5 because it's sitting at minus 160, so I know it must be a good bet.
And I'm gonna tell you, Dodger fans are the worst.
Damn it, Jim.
How's that, Tyler?
I like it.
Minus one. I'm gonna risk more money to for a better bet. How about that?
I like that.
Is that the thinking? Is that the line of thinking?
The odds may ever be in your favor.
Jimmy, plus 1.5. They got to lose by 2? Hell yeah. Give me the Dodgers, man.
Yeah, there you go. It should be a good one, man. That's that is an atmosphere I would like to see. The Padres.
You really liked that little trip to San Diego you made, didn't you?
It's a great park. Second best park I've been to, I would say.
What's the first?
Yankee Stadium or something else.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh. I know how you feel.
That's I get it.
It was I wish I had gone to the old one, but it was
still pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, man.
Wrigley was sick. I'm not the guy to walk in and be like, oh wow, this is all. But Wrigley was sick.
Yeah,
Petco was nice. It's just where it is. Everything they got, that building, Western Auto Union or Western Union, whatever building is cool. That's right in the field of play. I would advise that one. That's a nice one. All right, Clint, great job as always. Tyler, great job. As well, coming up behind us, Texans All Access Players Edition, Texans All Access, and then Area 45. So stay tuned as we are live and local until midnight. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Ron, we're dead on track for Tyler to be right on the Texans winning the division by about 8 games.
Are you surprised?
Yes, very.
That's weird because I'm also winning the office pool on the pick 'em each week.
We'll see.
What is that?
You'd have to check your email.
Oh.
Yeah. So far through 5 weeks, your boy has remained on top.
Well, I mean, you are a winner.
Thanks, man. Needed to hear that.
Yeah. Good for you, man.
Bad spot, huh?
Good for you. Good for you, man. Stop going to road games for the Texans. But.
And the world's all right with me.
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.